Hello and welcome to today's edition of the Baptist Bible Hour with LaSayre Bradley Jr. I'm Thomas Mann, inviting you to stay tuned for another message from God's Word.
You love Him enough to spend time in His Word so you can learn what He had to say and the instruction He has for you? Do you love Him enough to be kind and gracious, even under difficult circumstances? Do you love Him enough to obey His command that you're to forgive one another? Do you love Him?
And the Lord Jesus does teach that if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. But of course, our love for Him is always waxing and waning, but His love for us, it's always the same. Today, LaSayre Bradley Jr. is taking a look at this wonderful truth in a message entitled, Christ's Amazing Love.
In our last message on the vine and branches, we concluded with reference to the blessings that come from abiding in Christ. One of them, prayer, is answered. Secondly, the Father is glorified. The third, love abounds. And the fourth, joy is full. All of these stipulated in the context. I want to go back to verse 9 for our text today. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. I want us to read the entire passage we'll be looking at, continuing with verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I will call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So as we look at the words of Jesus in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Our subject is Christ's amazing love. We find in the passage that his love was displayed to the fact that he chose them. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. This choice was not based on any quality or merit in them. We turn to the book of Romans, reading in chapter 3, a description of fallen humanity. When he says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Man is forever looking for a place where he can take some credit to himself. Lay claim to the idea that if indeed God made a choice, he saw some worth or good in them that influenced the choice. But the scriptures abound with declarations that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the psalmist tells us that when God looked down from the height of his sanctuary, he saw that they were all going in the wrong direction. Isaiah 53 said everyone had turned to his own way. So there were none that were living uprightly and godly that would influence the choice of God. There were none that were coming to him because man of himself doesn't seek the true and living God. He'll seek religion. He'll make a God of his own, a God after his own imagination, but he does not seek God. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, language could not be any plainer than that. It's not according to our works. Not because of some quality that he saw in us, not because of some great work that we had performed, not because of some special deed that was due recognition. He made the choice according to his own sovereign pleasure. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Not that we were holy. Not that he made the choice because he saw holiness in those that were the objects of his affection, but that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It is the purpose of God to make all of those whom he hath chosen and redeemed holy. That process begins here through sanctification and will be consummated in heaven in glorification when they are perfectly without sin and wholly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So the choice is not based on any merit that he saw in those who were at that time his disciples or anything that he would see in us today. It is according to his sovereign pleasure. We turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, reading in the 7th verse. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Did not select these people because they were great in number, because they were superior to others around them, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Not because of your status, not because of your numerical strength, but the Lord loved you. Why? Because he loved you. It was his purpose. It was his pleasure. He loved you. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Some complain that God does not do the same for all members of the human family, as though if he does not do so, he is unjust and unfair. But when we recognize that God is holy and whatever he does is right and proper, whether we understand it or agree with it or not, we have to bow in humility before him and stand amazed that he would love anybody. And if indeed you have come to a relationship with Jesus Christ and therefore know that God loves you, you surely should be amazed by it every day as you consider it. In the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 10, he says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We didn't take the initiative. We didn't decide one day that I think it'd be a good thing for me to love God and initiate this whole process. No, he loved us, not because we loved him, but that he loved us. Verse 19 says it very specifically. We love him because he first loved us. So you may say, well, I've loved God basically all of my life, as far as I can remember. When I was a little child, I loved God. I can assure you, the fact is, if that's the case in your experience, it is still because he loved you first. He initiated the whole process. And then he says that he ordained them, he chose them and ordained them to bring forth fruit. It is his determination in loving a people, redeeming a people, calling a people, drawing a people to Him, sanctifying them to bring about a change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, for the language is very specific in emphasizing once more this truth of salvation by grace. We don't want to stop with verse 9. Verse 8 says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But then verse 10 continues, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're His workmanship. He's the one that has transformed us. He's the one that makes a dramatic change in our life. When we're born of the Spirit, when we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, there is a transformation. Certainly, the implication is not that we reach a state of sinless perfection in this life. The Apostle Paul himself was heard to say, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" There was an ongoing conflict between the flesh and the spirit, and every one of us have that same experience. Sometimes the struggle is intense. It's great. That's why we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is constantly seeking to influence us, to ensnare us, to lead us down the wrong path. And so it requires God's sustaining grace to be able to stand against his temptations. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he describes the fruit of the Spirit. In this portion of the Gospel of John, he has a lot to say about love and about joy. And where do these come from? Galatians 5, 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So it's not something that we work up and produce of ourselves. We are to walk in obedience and in the light that God has given us. But when indeed this fruit is born, when there is genuine love, when there is real joy, when there is peace, when there is faith, when there is gentleness of spirit, all of this is the result of the Spirit's work within us. So His love was manifest by the fact that He chose them. And then it says He loved them as the Father loved Him. What an amazing declaration. There could be no greater love than the love that the Father had for His Son. At the time of His baptism, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, the voice of the Father was heard from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." This is the Son that I love. He is My beloved Son. I am pleased with Him. He had sent Him from heaven to come to this earth on a particular mission. He was pleased that the Son, even in the time of His childhood, had been submissive to the will of His heavenly Father. He'd said to His earthly parents, "I must be about My Father's business." That's why He had come. And the heavenly Father was well pleased with Him. And then the same word was heard at the time of His transfiguration, when He was on the mount with Peter, James, and John, and His countenance was changed, and there was a marvelous transition referred to as the transfiguration. And we look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. "While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him.'" So the Father, without question, loved His Son. Not only is mention made of it at the time of His baptism, in the time of his transfiguration, but with respect to his death. John chapter 10, verse 17. These are the words of Jesus. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. My Father loves me because he sent me here to this earth to redeem a people. He came with the intent of going to the cross and dying. And therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life. And John 17, verse 23 tells us that the Father loved him even before the foundation of the world. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father, referred to as the high priestly prayer, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So look at the broad scope of testimony that's given concerning the love that the Father had for his Son. He loved him before the foundation of the world. Declarations made at the time of his baptism that this is his beloved Son. It's made again on the Mount of Transfiguration. At the time of his death, when Jesus Christ goes to the cross, the Father was pleased that the Son laid down his life. Oh, it was a dreadful thing from the standpoint that for that period of time, the Father turned his back on his Son. And Jesus cried out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's another one of those situations that is almost impossible for us to fathom. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the God-man. He was the manifestation of all that God is, in perfect harmony with the Father. And in our minds, we say, how could it be that the Father would turn his back on the Son? But because the sin of all of his people were laid upon him, sin brings separation, and it was necessary for that time for the Father to turn his back. But the Father loved him. His love was continued even when his back had to be turned, because the burden of sin was laid upon him. There's been no greater love than this. This love is without beginning and without end. The Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world. If he loved him one day, he loved him the day before. There was really no time. We can't think in the terms of eternity, because all of our framework is connected with time. But he always loved his Son, and he always will love him. No beginning, no end. And this love cannot be measured. You know how sometimes in talking to a little child, you say, well, how much do you love me? Do you love me 10? And they want to make it big. Well, I love you 100. And so I love you more than that. I love you 1,000. And sometimes you can get it up to 10,000, you know, as you try to measure how much do we love each other. Well, this love can't be measured. There's no way to fathom the scope, the depth, the breadth, the height of the love that the Father has for his Son. And it's without change. Sometimes we profess to love each other, to love a friend, and then a disruption comes. Feelings are hurt. Opinions differ. And all of a sudden it appears that love has died. Not so with this love that the Father had for the Son. Now, Jesus says the Son loves his disciples just like the Father loved him. Now, one remarkable difference: Jesus was worthy of the Father's love. He was perfect in every category. He was without sin. He was without fault. He was totally submissive to the Father's will. He was entitled to that love. You and I are not, because by nature, We are rebels. We resist His will. We violate His law. We turn aside. But Jesus, nevertheless, loves those whom He has chosen. He loves continually. Remember a few weeks ago, we were looking at the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, where in verse 1, He says, having loved His own, He loved them unto the end. And that's rather amazing, because as we've gone through this gospel, we've seen some of the failings and faults of the disciples. How many times they misunderstood, how many times they misrepresented what He said, how many times they failed in one category or another. Any one of us could easily become exasperated and say, I don't think I want to fool with these guys anymore. They just are full of so many mistakes and so many faults. What's the use? But Jesus continued to love them. And aren't you glad to know that Jesus loves you in spite of your faults and failings? Where would you be today if His love was going to be based entirely on your merit, on your good behavior, on the fact that you always do everything you ought to do, say everything you ought to say, never do anything wrong, always have the right attitude, always seek His glory, always honor Him? If He'd ever loved you at all, He wouldn't be loving you today, would He? If it was based on what He sees in you. But having loved His own, He loved them to the end. And John 15, the 13th verse says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than that. Jesus proved His love. He didn't just say, I loved you. But He proved it. He demonstrated it because He went to the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when you're yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Amazing. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But this love was so unique that He died for those that were His enemies. He died for the ungodly. Just ponder that a bit. To think that the love that Jesus Christ has for you is as intense, as real, as secure, as long-lasting, as abundant as the love that the Father has for Him. You know, with that thought, we ought never to be discouraged. We ought never to become despondent. To be loved like that by Jesus Christ, yes, it is an amazing love. And then His true disciples love Him. Those who are the disciples of Jesus Christ, those who are true, not just professing to be a follower and that being only a temporary commitment, but those who are His, love Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. John 14, the 15th verse, Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. You know, you can talk all day long about how much you love Jesus. You can sing all of the hymns that talk about loving Jesus. You can sing them enthusiastically. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing all of the verses. Sound like you mean it. But you know where the proof is? That you obey Him. That you obey His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Then verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. This isn't a possibility. This isn't something that just ought to be. He says, this is a fact. If you love me, you will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. True disciples love Jesus. How much do you love him? How much is that love displayed in your life on a daily basis? It's not just a matter of a one day a week proposition. I love him enough to go to church on Sunday. How much do you love him on Monday? Do you love him enough to spend time in his word so you can learn what he had to say and the instruction he has for you? Do you love him enough to be kind and gracious even under difficult circumstances? Do you love him enough to obey his command that you're to forgive one another? Do you love him?
And we need to pause right there today in this message by Lasair Bradley Jr. entitled Christ's Amazing Love. Well, if you would like to hear this message again, it is available on CD, the entire material from both days on a single audio CD. It's yours free when you ask for it by title when you write The Baptist Bible Hour, P.O. Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's P.O. Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. Of course, you can always call toll free 1-800-473-4BBH. That line is open 24 hours a day. Be sure to have your credit card ready if you plan to place an order or make a tax-deductible donation toward the support of the program. Again, that number, 1-800-473-4BBH. Well, that does wrap up our time together for today. I'm Thomas Mann, inviting you back again next time when Lasair Bradley Jr. brings another Bible-based message on the Baptist Bible Hour.
Perfect salvation, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. Say